This episode of Always Was, Always Will Be, Our Stories is sponsored by Bumble, a dating app that is dedicated to creating an inclusive environment for its community of over 95 million users. Bumble has partnered with experts at a range of LGBTQIA+ advocacy organizations to provide a space where people from across the gender platform feel safe and seen. With guidance from the community, Bumble has created an extensive list of gender options for both new and existing users to choose from. When setting up their profile, users can select a binary choice or tap More Options to expand the list, and your choice can be updated at any time. Users can also choose if they'd like to show their gender identity at all to potential matches, which appears alongside profile badges. On Bumble, how you identify is up to you. Download Bumble today and make the first move. One app, three modes, one mission. Yama. I'm Gamilaroi and Dungari woman Marley Silva. And this is Always Was, Always Will Be, Our Stories, the podcast where I sit down with some of the most inspiring Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander role models in the country. Growing up different is tough, no matter who you are or where you're from. Each of us journeys through some type of identity discovery, whether it be because of our culture, ethnicity, how we look, or what our sexuality is. As a heteronormative, cisgendered person myself, the pressure and obstacles I faced in my adolescence around justifying my Aboriginal identity every day was exhausting enough. I couldn't even imagine the extra layers of difficulty that come with that for mob who were queer as well. Courtney Hagen and Matika Little are Black, gay, and proud. These women, who connected online through their common experiences of being Aboriginal and identifying as lesbian, have built an incredibly vital platform for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander voices on the LGBTQIA+ spectrum. Coming Out Black is their podcast, which they use to share their own experiences, discuss the issues that matter the most to them, and provide a safe space for other people who are struggling with their sexual identity. Intersectionality and the representation of diverse voices within the Black community is so incredibly important, and a broader, more accurate picture of who we are as one mob is also incredibly beautiful. The fact is, there's no one way to be Black, and our differences make us stronger together. I'm so excited to share this chat with you today featuring Courtney and Matika. They're such kind and passionate titters who have a lot to share and a lot we can learn from. Now, it's into the chat. I start every single podcast with the same question, that age-old one we know very well, which is, who's your mob and where are you from? So I don't know which one of you wants to go first, but if someone could kick it off.
You go on, Teak.
I was like, well, who's going to go first? Okay, yeah. Hi, my name is Matika Little. I'm a proud Wiradjuri and Gimilaroi woman, originally from Wagga Wagga in regional New South Wales, but now I live in Sydney on Gadigal land.
And I'm Courtney. I am a Batchelor and Gubbi Gubbi woman from Queensland. Shout out to the Murrays. And I'm living in Naam in lockdown in the Kulin Nation.
So where did you two meet then if you're both from very different parts and you don't even live in the same city now?
actually a really nice story. So I had been trying to start what I wanted to be a podcast, and I just basically had started the Instagram and was looking for people to share their story. Basically, at the time, it was called Pale, Deadly and Fabulous because I'm a pale-skinned Aboriginal woman. I'm also a lesbian, and I felt that those particular intersections weren't being discussed as much in the media as I wanted to. I studied communications, actually, at UTS with you, Marley. We were in the same graduation class, which was so funny, but I didn't actually get to come over and say hi to you, so oh well. But I had started posting things on my Instagram, and Courtney had found it and then messaged me a really sweet message of like, hey, like I'm also part of the community and I really appreciate what you're doing. And she lived in Melbourne, so I traveled there a bit for work. So when I was there the next time, I was like, we should catch up, we should become best friends. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, essentially. So like, yeah, when I moved to Melbourne, I didn't have like any friends, and I moved here for work. So obviously, like I said before, being for like Murray, like all my family are up in Queensland. So when I moved down, I just sort of felt a little bit isolated, but then I saw, yeah, somehow I think like through the whole that is social media, sometimes you go down yeah, I found it and I was like, oh, that's really cool. But it wasn't like, I just sort of messaged her just to say like, hey, like, I really appreciate what you're doing. I think this is really cool. Anyway, like, we can hang out or whatever next time you're in Melbourne, let me know. And then, yeah, like, we had dinner a few times and just talked about life and how we've, even though we identify the same way, our lives are so completely different, and our experiences of our heritage and our experiences of our, you know, being queer also are so dramatically different. And then, yeah, just as most people do over a few bevvies, like, Matika was like, let's do a podcast. And I was like, yeah, right, whatever. And then, yeah, a few months later, she was like, yeah, I've set it up, so let's go. And I was like, oh, yep, all right.
Well, that's a really so nice story. I like that you, like, because quite often you see, like, podcasts where people are already friends and then they've, you know, just come up with something. Again, a lot of the time it is over a couple of drinks, everyone starts talking about podcasting. And I feel like we always take the piss out of it a lot of the time. So, but it is cool that's how you've, like, you know, started the journey. And I wonder if... Yeah, because, you know, whenever I talk about my adolescence and talk about, like, identity struggle as an Aboriginal person, for me growing up in an area where basically everyone's white, like, you don't even have other brown people, let alone other black fellas, you know, and that was such a struggle, and I felt so ostracized that, like, I can't even imagine how that extra layer of just struggling with your identity in terms of your sexuality, how that plays a part in it. And I wonder, I know both of you talk about this a lot because it's such a massive component of who you are and the whole purpose of the podcast, but would each of you be able to share your experiences or how growing up, you know, gay and black has shaped you to want to be the spokespeople that you've become now?
Yeah, I think it definitely adds another layer of complexity to the challenges of being a teenager in general and then being an Indigenous teenager. And then, surprise, we're also gay. So it really just was better in the works and made it all that more interesting. And that's why I really loved being able to have those sorts of conversations with Courtney when we did meet. Like, I actually haven't met too many queer Indigenous people in my life. Now I have lots, which is really wonderful, but that's what I loved so much about being able to share those experiences, like, this happened to me, or I was questioning that. And a lot of young people who are queer and Indigenous, I think, have a similar experience of asking themselves, is this even allowed? Like, can you be two minorities? Can you be gay and Aboriginal? Because I didn't see people like that. So I think our contribution to more and more media now having multiple minority Australians in there is coming out black, and we're really proud of how we've started to come into that and be a part of that space.
Yeah, I think you said it really well, Teague. I think it's growing up, I think I didn't really see anyone like me, and I think we have that conversation a lot. I think even listening to your podcast so far, Marley, every different person you speak to actually says these words, I haven't seen anyone like me, and you feel really, yeah, quite ostracized, and obviously being quite light-skinned myself, in the schools that I went to, you know, no one else was, like, out, and I wasn't out either, to be fair. And I was usually the kind of the token black girl in most things, despite being very vanilla latte, but obviously coffee's coffee no matter how much milk you add to it. But it's kind of one of those things, like, you feel really outcasted, like, where you are. And then when you add the complexities of not understanding your sexuality, it sort of turned, for me anyway, it turned into a lot of, like, you know, I didn't understand myself. I was very self, like, hating, I suppose. And I think that, like, going through that for so long and then coming out later, in my early 20s, I think, and just, like, in my journey, it's been quite difficult. But because I held that for so long, that sort of shame and not understanding myself and being really embarrassed about it, I think somehow after I've come out and I've realized, like, you know, I'm not the only one. And I think that's the messaging that I think we want to have is that, yeah, this is not, it's not abnormal. Like, it's so natural. Like, if you're, you know, a good person, it doesn't matter what you do or what you like. And I think that's kind of what we want to do, is just create that representation and have conversations that I think we wanted to probably hear back then when we were struggling with it ourselves. Because, yeah, like, it's who we are. It's, you know, it doesn't make me any less culturally strong. It doesn't make me any less gay. Like, it's, yeah, it's, I think that's, yeah.
Yeah. It's, to me, so often as an adult, I realize kind of that in my household, I grew up in such an anomaly, because for me, my mum's worked for Qantas my whole life and all of her friends are gay. Like, literally, growing up, all of our family friends, it felt like everyone was gay or whatever, but I did never ever looked at them and were like, oh, they're gay. It was just like, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, they're two women who were together. Like, it just never, it was a lot, not until a lot later in life as a teenager when people started like being homophobic around me, I was like, wait, what? Like, what the hell? In the same way that I was like, when people asked me, oh, why is your dad black? I was like, what? My dad's black. Like, same thing. Like, I just was in such a bubble. I'm like, what? You know, my parents are so accepting. I don't know that there's these discriminations like in existence. But I think that that would make me then blind to the homophobia that exists within our Aboriginal community. Like, I have no understanding of, again, because I surround myself with like-minded people who aren't those things. Like, is it a pretty significant thing that you guys face, like, within culture? Like you said, Courtney, you having to say to yourself, it doesn't make you less black because you're gay. Like, did you face that pushback from mob?
Yeah, well, in some ways, but it's really interesting historically. It dates back all the way to the dream time that we have, you know, it's like the Mimi spirits are genderless. There's not necessarily any connection to sexually fluid dream time stories or people, but flash forward, I think it's interesting because there's a lot of different mobs that are very like traditionally accepting, and even though I think the word acceptance doesn't work either in this space because it makes it seem like it was something that's not accepted but it shouldn't be anyway. But for me personally, it wasn't necessarily mob, it was definitely family that I got pushback from, and I got a sort of an ultimatum when I was younger, well, not much younger than I am now, but it was sort of, you know, choose between your family or your sexuality, and that was a really tough battle that I went through as part of my coming out journey. And it wasn't necessarily because culturally anyone thought it was wrong. It's actually kind of more of the ideas and the mindsets, and I think that have come from like the generational effects of colonization. I think through the way that a lot of the church's sort of mindsets on these things have been embedded into community. It's not actually really cultural at all. It's actually, yeah, like our grandmothers and our great-grandmothers all, you know, being like whitewashed or having to be heavily involved in the church. Not that there's anything wrong with religion, but it's obviously very well known that for some religions that, yeah, having a different sexuality other than straight's not okay. So having all that expectation now following through, I think, yeah, like that dramatically affected me personally, and I think that's also why I sort of had to make a decision when I was sort of, yeah, in my early 20s. It was either, you know, I accept this for who I am and be stronger about it, or, you know, I'm going to be miserable for the rest of my life. So here I am on a podcast talking about being black and gay. So, yeah.
What about you, Mateka? What's your experience been like, you know, even if it is how your family responded or friends to you coming out? And
yeah, I think actually that points out really well why we actually chose to call the podcast Coming Out Black, because we wanted to talk about obviously our experiences of being queer women, but also the experience that of being light-skinned Aboriginal and almost having to come out as your Aboriginal as well. So the experience of coming out both in your sexuality and both if you don't necessarily match physically what someone's culture is, you have to come out almost every day, sometimes multiple times a day. But so my first experience, or my first attempt, I like to say, of coming out was when I was about the age of 14 or 15, and I had a really public breakup with my first girlfriend, and it was all crazy. And I'm pretty sure we cover it in our first episode of our podcast. And then everyone after that assumed I was straight. And I was like, okay. So then for the next 4 years, tried my hardest to be straight. Spoiler alert, that didn't happen. And then properly came out maybe my first year of uni. So I might have been like, I don't know, 20 or 21 or something like that, and have been living my real authentic self ever since. And it's brought, I think, the pride I have in both of my communities to like another level. And I know that I'm extremely lucky. And this is the interesting thing about Courtney and I, is that we have two very significant but also very different stories. And so I actually had a really positive experience with my family, and my nan was really the first person that I came out to, and she's like the matriarch of our family and a really important person in our community, and I couldn't have asked for a more supportive, incredible family. But that's not to say that there weren't also, you know, kids in the community who were just kind of like, oh, that's gross, like all of this stupid homophobic stuff that teenagers do. And it did just happen to be other Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander individuals, but also people who were not as well. So I don't necessarily want to shy away from the fact that, yeah, homophobia does exist within our community, and we want to make sure we're raising awareness of that. But also massive parts of our community, I might even say the majority, are incredibly supportive of our multiple minority brothers and sisters.
It is interesting that there can be so many things like that you have in common and such a different kind of experience and all that sort of stuff. So let's talk about the podcast. First of all, logistically, how do you guys record in other cities? Do you do this? And like, how do you plan before you go on and all that kind of stuff? That's just me personally being interested as a podcaster.
Yeah, well, it's actually, we've taken a leaf out of your book, Molly, and we use Squadcast to chat to each other that we're recording on at the moment. We did get together, I think, a while ago, right at the start of the year, and we recorded a couple of episodes, but we're both really chicken about actually launching it. And I think it actually took COVID because we were like, oh, yeah, cool, like we've done it. But like then we just both did nothing because I think we were both too scared to press go.
Why are you scared?
Well, it's interesting. I don't really know about you, Matika, but I was just kind of like, and this is funny, like obviously we call Coming Out Black, but it's weird because I still like, because I had such a weird I won't sugarcoat it, I had a really awful time coming out. I still get really nervous about people knowing that I'm gay, and like you can't really take it back once you sort of put it out in the world, that's it. And not that I ever want to, and I think that's the point. Like, and I think you're always sort of on that journey. But I guess when COVID hit, I got stood out from work, so I had plenty of time, and I was just like, let's do it. Like, I mean, what's the worst that can happen? And that was the point of putting this out. And I think I sort of had to think back to why we were doing it. It wasn't really about it, like, and it's not about this podcast getting really big or anything. It's more about 14, 15 year old self, if I was looking for this, that it's there. And I think that's the point of it. And just let people know that they're not alone. And we have this like cute little online community and people, you know, writing in and supporting each other. And I think that's all we, you know, really wanted from it. And I'm really enjoying it at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we both, and this is why I forced Courtney to be a co-host with me. I produced the first two episodes of what was the original podcast in my last year of university. And I graduated, end of 2018, start of 2019. So I've had these episodes for like, this has been an idea for 2 years, and I just needed someone to hold my hand and jump with me because I was so caught up in like, this is important, I needed this when I was younger. Like, this is a representation that we're so passionate about. We're both so like, oh, it has to be perfect. It has to be this. It has to be that. And at the end of the day, we were just kind of like, look, we just got to jump in. We have to do it. We have to start having the conversations we want to have, and we'll grow from there, and we'll get better, and we'll do these things, and we'll talk to more people. And yeah, we just sort of had to force each other to do it.
Yeah. And I guess naturally as well, we've been able to reach out and connect with other mob who are on all different, parts of the LGBTQIA plus community. So, I mean, one of our latest episodes is I sit down and interview an Aboriginal trans man, and there'll be another interview soon coming out about non-binary absolute legend and things like that. And I think it's not just necessarily our stories and our take on things. It's, exploring more mob and, you know, people don't really register that, you know, we like intersectionality, I suppose, that people can sit in so many different facets of life, and all of our stories are so interesting. And I think despite having quite a small platform right now, I think it's still a really important platform to have, and these stories are really important to share.
I've listened to the first episode I really enjoyed the conversation. I think I said that to you in an email, Courtney, that I love the natural flow between you guys, and also it surprised me that there wasn't already, you know, something coming from the Black and LGBTQ space in our community. So I think it's something that, you know, even though you guys aren't that interested, like aren't focused on becoming some big sensation, I think a lot of people would find interest in that. And like for me, who's not someone who's a part of that community, I still find it really interesting. And I think it's important and actually vital for, you know, straight people to hear that and understand it and have that extra level of empathy. I think we need to learn from you guys and support you and lift you up as well, because yeah, you're juggling all that extra stuff. So it's really cool. And yeah, so it is exciting to me to see more and more Aboriginal podcasters popping up and taking control of their own stories and stuff. What's the feedback been like? I know you said that a few people have said things or messaged in and whatever. What have you heard from people on the ground?
Yeah, I mean, different feedback between Matiga and I, but yeah, we've had like, you know, people feeling like empowered and, you know, some people, like I've had an email from a young person that said they were just so like felt so psyched up about reading listening to our podcast that they came out to their family and it went really well. We've had others email in or send us DMs on Instagram asking, you know, like I think we addressed in our second episode about, you know, I've got a, you know, a father who doesn't approve that I'm, you know, I'm a lesbian that's having a child with another woman, like what do I do and things like that. Obviously we aren't experts to answer, but we've sort of been able to create a space where other people who might have that experience can support. But then yeah, others talking about, you know, how do you talk about this to your grandparents and things like that, which we both have different experiences on. And yeah, is there anything else, Teague? I think
yeah, I mean, I've loved having questions because it shows us what people are still wanting to know. And it's not necessarily about like, this is what I think. It's more about opening up that space of like, this is an okay question to ask. It's all right to be worried about this or thinking about that. We've also had, you know, we're doing an upcoming episode on like sexual health and what kind of questions you should ask your partner before engaging any of those things. We did an episode on healthy relationships because we don't think people talk about healthy queer relationships enough. All of those sorts of conversations and having people engage in those has been really, really great.
I know you guys have kind of hinted that, you know, this is something that would have been an amazing resource for yourselves as teenagers. What do each of you have a message for, you know, younger queer mob that you want them to know? Yeah, if you could talk to your younger self, what would you say?
That's a really good question. There are so many things I would tell my younger self. I think one of the most important things I would say is that you're not alone and that there are people like you out there, especially given I grew up in like a, not a small town, but like what felt like the middle of nowhere to me. And if you were different, it was really strange and weird, not okay. That it is okay to be unique, and there are more people out there who are just as unique and are incredibly excited to get to know you and celebrate all that you are, your Aboriginality, your queerness, all of those things. So yeah, that's probably what I would say.
Yeah, I think my message would probably be more, yeah, like be kind to yourself. And I think, and I think that's just one of the best messages, like that still rings true, and you have to remind yourself of it all the time. But I think it's, yeah, and don't, you know, put pressure on yourself to be anything that anyone else wants you to be. And, you know, when you die, you get buried with who you are and your relationship with yourself and the decisions that you made. So for me, yeah, I think it's be strong in who you are, because I think ever since I worked out who I am and decided that that's, you know, that I'm proud of that, I'm such a better human being, I think, in all aspects of my life. So, yeah.
That's borderline poetic, Courtney. All right.
She just wants knowledge every day. She doesn't stop. I thought, also that, like, in the same sort of vein of what Courtney has said, that you're important and what you have to say matters. I think even today, Courtney and I sometimes doubt ourselves. Like, I think we did an episode on, you know, violence against our community. And we were kind of talking about it. It was during the Black Lives Matter movement. which is still going on, reminder for everyone. And we were like, I think Courtney, you might have said like, oh, should we go and ask this person to be on the, should we ask them to what they think about it? And I was like, girl, what we think about it's important. Like, what everyone, like, your voice is valuable and people want to hear what you have to say, and you don't have to like scream at the top of your voice if that's not something you're comfortable to do. But if you are feeling powerful and strong in yourself and your message, sharing that is extremely powerful, and your voice matters.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know, speaking of this period that we've just seen, and the fact that poor old Courtney in Victoria is back in lockdown, and all this other stuff, how are you guys looking after yourselves? You know, I think in the last couple of records that I've done, in the last couple of weeks, I found myself like wanting to know what people are doing to look after themselves, because maybe there's a little bit part of me going, I want to collect all the nice like things that I should be doing because I feel like I'm going a bit mad, but also because I think we need to never stop talking about that as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll start with this one. Something that I've randomly started doing recently, and I make reference to this in the podcast, I went on this like kind of 10-month dating hiatus, by choice, air quotes, but like it kind of was. Anyway, but I started taking myself on a date every Friday of, every first Friday of the month, I would take myself on a date, and I would be doing exactly the same thing I do most nights, like cook myself dinner, you know, get ready for bed or whatever. But like, you know, I might have a bath and a glass of wine, which I don't do every night, but you know, but I've started doing that and just like romanticizing it so hard that you're like, wow, like look what I've done for me, or like, you know, just something like that. And like turning my phone off completely and just like being there with myself and just reflecting on where I am in my life. And sometimes like even just purposely thinking like, I've come so far, and like it does, and it doesn't sound like wanky or anything. It's more just like, yeah, like I've done this. Like, look at me, like I'm right here. I've, you know, it was a mess, et cetera, whenever ago. And, you know, or, you know, I'm really proud of myself. And that's definitely something that I would really recommend to anyone, whether you have a partner or not. I think it's just so good to indulge in that, yeah, and that self-love and stuff like that. But other than that, just not putting pressure on myself to have so much scheduled to do, particularly in lockdown. Like, I think everyone's like, you know, I want to learn a new language, which I talked to you about, Marley, last time we chatted, which I have not done. But yeah, like, you know, I want to learn a new language. I want to run a marathon. I want to do this and that. And I think, yeah, like some days I do run out a ton of like, you know, lists of stuff that I'm going to do, and I don't do it. Then I'm like, I'm not going to be hard on myself, because this is the day and age we're in. And I think slowing down has actually helped me speed up, if that makes any sense.
What about you, Mateka?
But yeah.
I think I was just thinking something, but I caught it. I am someone who is really passionate about making sure people take care of their mental health. And I'm also very open about experiences in my past and my mental health. So a few of the things that I do each day, I generally start the day with like a cute little affirmation, and I do this with a particular friend of mine. Like every day we'll wake up and one of us will message each other, good morning, it's going to be a good day. And then they'll reply, it's going to be a successful day. And then I reply, it's going to be a productive day. So it's going to be good, successful, and productive. And pretty much every day we send each other that message. And it's like supporting each other to be in a positive mindset. So if you have a friend or someone around you where you want to start like each day with a little affirmation to each other, totally do that. And then also I have, you know, social media is a place where oftentimes people can get in a really negative place. What I actually do is I follow a heap of mental health and positive pages, and I have a little saved file every time I see something that I really love, or like a quote that stands out to me, or something that's just like, oh, the universe delivered that for a reason, I needed to see that. I save them all to a little file, and sometimes I just scroll through and make myself feel great because it's like lots of really lovely, happy things.
Oh, you guys are so good. Both of you do really good things. I love that take yourself on a date thing. And I'm going to start telling people that I am on a dating hiatus. That's why I've been this single for this long. That's really cool. I love both of your, your self-care processes. And I'm going to take a leaf from your books. You know, What can people do to support you guys and the podcast, other than obviously listening?
Oh, so take a corner. absolutely. If you want, of course, go and listen to the podcast. You can find us basically anywhere that you listen to podcasts. You can also follow us on Instagram at comingoutblackblak. If you want to reach out, you have a story that you feel you want to tell, or you have someone in particular you want us to talk to or a question, you can DM us on Instagram. That's the social media platform where we usually use. But we also have a Facebook page, Coming Out Black as well, and a Gmail, which is comingoutblackblak@gmail.com.
Yeah. And I think as well, I think, you know, in your everyday life, tune in. I think lean in is like a really good word. You know, you see in like LGBTQIA queer things going on, you know, attend, you know, learn how to be a better ally if that's what you want to do. And, you know, the conversations start at home. I know that casual homophobia is a huge thing. Like, I think people use like, and it's dying out, but I do know it still exists. Like people say things like, oh, that's gay, or, oh, that's like, you know, a bit queer of you and stuff like that. And I think, you know, it's so similar to racism in a way that casual racism happens a lot as well. Whether you're mob or non-mob, I think, you know, eradicating that from, you know, and standing up in the right times when that's happening is super important. And, I think on the page we'll start putting out some more research and some more evidence for people to really delve into it, because it is really, really interesting, because there's a lot of studies and a lot of incredible Indigenous academics writing about this stuff. And, you know, we're not the only voices, and we're definitely not the experts. We're just, experts of our own experience. And that's actually a quote, again, from Mali that I've had a previous conversation with about it. And, I think the journey starts at home, and lean into it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I thank you guys so much for coming on and sharing a bit about who you are, and also for all the work that you're doing. You should be really proud of yourselves. I think that your voices really, really matter in our space, especially for our young ones. I find myself always talking about the next generation, because I am just thinking about them all the time, and, you know, what we can do to provide them with better experiences than we've had, and as those who've come before us have done. And this is another way to, you know, keep supporting them in all their unique beauty and everything. So it's really cool. And I encourage everyone to go and listen to the podcast, subscribe, follow, do all of those wonderful things, and support some deadly titters who are telling amazing stories. So thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much, Marley. It's such an honor to be on the show, and really proud of what you're doing as well. It's incredible. I know that's definitely shaped both of our experiences as young Aboriginal women.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Always Was, Always Will Be Our Stories. Thank you so much to Courtney and Matika for making the time to yarn with me today. Make sure you're checking out their podcast, Coming Out Black, wherever you get your pods, or follow them on Instagram at Coming Out Black. And that's black spelt with no C. Thank you also to Bumble for sponsoring today's episode and celebrating and elevating the voices of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander role models. Whether it's friendship, dating, or networking you're after, Bumble's the app for you. Download it today on the App Store. If you are enjoying the show, make sure to subscribe on wherever you're listening to us right now. Give us a good rating if you're enjoying it. Leave a comment or follow us on social media at Always Our Stories. This podcast is written, hosted, produced, edited, the whole bit by me, Marley Silva. And I do so on the unceded lands of the Dharawal people south of Sydney. And I pay my respects to their elders past, present, and emerging. Stay deadly, and I'll catch you next week.